The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. It wasn't exactly a dominant weekend for your Milwaukee Brewers. Dropping a couple to Washington. Obviously, we had talked about how the Pittsburgh series went when we gathered on Friday, talking about the potential no-hitter for Paul Skeens, and we did a lot of focus on that side of it, but the Brewers ultimately lost that game, so it ended up being three losses in a row before they were able to get the victory yesterday, 9-3, against the Nationals. So now we are in All-Star Week, and of course, Christian Yelich is there and William Contreras is there, and a lot of people will be paying attention to the home run derby also. But yesterday in that win, Willy Adames had a hell of a game. I'm going to pull up the box score and just see what his final line was, because I had seen it mid-game, you know, and it was in progress. 4 for 4 with a walk.
Yep.
2 runs. So all the four were hits. And the tweet that I saw Adam McAlvey sent out said, kind of like, have a day, right?
Sure.
Willy Adames is having a decent finish to the first half. 4 for 4 today with a homer, a double, 2 singles, a walk, 2 runs scored, and 4 RBI. Which, of course, I had a little bittersweet reaction to it. I'm going to be real honest. As soon as I saw it, I go, well, that sucks. And I don't mean the performance. The performance is obviously incredible. But Willy Adames had been sort of doing us a favor. Willy Adames had been not great over the last month or so.
Oh, he stunk in June.
And the team was still winning games.
He was very bad in June.
And I was saying, maybe not externally, but internally, well, this might be the recipe for actually holding on to a guy like Willy Adames, who has been the heartbeat of this team, who has been a face. I don't want to say the face because Christian Yelich is still there, and I think he always will be the face of this Milwaukee Brewers team, but a face of the Milwaukee Brewers. And we have talked as the season has gone on about how difficult it will be for the Milwaukee Brewers to hold on to Willy Adames. So when he has a big day like yesterday, which we all know he can have, to me, it just makes him walk out the door a little bit further, Gabe. Now, that might be a pessimistic attitude towards the success.
This might
is
be.
The, this is
might
the,
be.
Don't cry might because be. It's over. Smile because it happened.
Guy goes
thing.
4 for 4 and you're not sick. That's awesome. You're like, oh, I'm sad.
I was
that
sad.
That might be
my
the pessimistic.
Initial reaction
that
to
is
it
the
was
definition.
Sadness. It was sadness
definition.
Inside out, too.
It's the definition
it
of pessimistic.
Joy. So you're telling me that was an overreaction by me.
I'm not saying react however you want to react, but trying to give yourself the benefit of the doubt of might be pessimistic when you're giving me the textbook definition of it is that's where I draw the line and have an issue.
So do you think there's any way that the Milwaukee Brewers hold on to Willy Adames, yes or no?
I lean towards no. I just doubt it. Although I continue to look at this and I continue to try to figure it out. I have no idea what his market is going to be at the shortstop position. Because as good as Willie has been, and a lot of the things we talk about with Willie end up being, especially because they're such a young team and he can be a leader of this team because he's a little bit more of a veteran turning 29 later this season. He's never been an all-star. He's not a candidate for a silver slugger or a gold glove. Like, he doesn't have these accolades that all of the other shortstops ahead of him in terms of pay scale all have. So I don't know if there is a team out there that's willing to go crazy and give him what Trey Turner's making for the Phillies, because Trey Turner is one of the best shortstops in baseball. Willy Adames is good. He's a good shortstop, but nobody talks about him as if he's one of the best shortstops in baseball. So I don't know what his number is going to be. I have no idea what his contract is going to look like, because players like him seem like they get lost a little bit in the free agent shuffle, where you talk about all the guys getting the top money And I just don't know where he slides in.
So that would be a good thing for the Brewers, right? Because if maybe there's not as robust a market for Willy Adames as they thought, maybe they could make him an offer and sell him on all of those other things of familiarity here. And he probably gets along with Murph, because who doesn't get along with Pat Murphy at this point? It feels like everybody thinks he's the greatest thing ever. You're the heart of the clubhouse. You're a power bat that we need. I mean, I understand that the Brewers at one point, probably as the injuries continue to pile up, would have said, what can we get in exchange for a Willy Adames? But I don't think they're going to do anything mid-season. I think this is a free agent after the season type of thing.
And get whatever compensatory pick you get in the draft for him. So it's not like you're getting absolutely nothing. So you won't get prospects who are ready right away, but you'll get something in terms of the compensatory pick when he walks
again,
out that
if
door.
My goal as a Brewers fan is to want them to hold on to guys like Willy Adames, who I really enjoy watching, who on a day like yesterday can really be productive for the team offensively. And once again, you can't put a price on how he is seen in that clubhouse and the impact he can have on some of these younger players, because the Brewers are a very young team, young lineup. Is there any chance that I could hang on to him? Is there any chance we can hang on to him? Because this is where I said yesterday, having a 4-for-4 day is like you were talking about Milwaukee. Shh, don't tell him.
But he needs to play well in order for them to do what they want to do. I'm guessing he's going to be somewhere around $20 to $21 million. Do you think the Brewers would be willing to pony up $7.5 to $8.5 extra $1 million per year, because he's making 12.25 million this year? So are they going to pony up an extra $7 or $8 million to keep him around, or are they going to decide that they want to spend that $7-8 million elsewhere? Because you look around, and outside of Jackson Churio, because he's locked into his deal, are you going to give more money to some of these guys like Bryce Terang, I'm trying to think of who else. You know, if Garrett Mitchell starts playing well, and he had a pretty good day yesterday, Blake Perkins, Sal Frelick, and all these guys that are going to be eligible for arbitration, and they're going to be getting raises, are you better off saving that $7-8 million because these guys are all going to be making more money?
Okay, but we've also talked about the effect of the Hader situation from a few seasons ago, where they traded Hader at the trade deadline, and that affected the clubhouse, even though they thought it wasn't going to, even though I was very adamant that, like, you're a professional, even if you lose a teammate who you feel like is the heartbeat of the squad and everybody likes, you still got to go to work, you still got to do your job, you got to compartmentalize. Would they put this ball team in a position to deal with that by trading Adames at the trade deadline?
They're not trading him at the deadline. He's here for the rest of the season. 100%, they're not trading him. Full stop, not going to happen. So,
well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, they're not trading him in the next 15 days. He's going to be here for the next 2.5 months.
Is part of that hopefully because the Brewers October. Are in first place and it'd be 100%, hard again?
100%, yeah. And for a team that, yes, you're looking for starting pitching right now, but as good as your offense has been, you don't want to trade your number four hitter in the middle of a playoff chase. I think they learned a lesson as well from trading Josh Hader. And the way that the fan base reacted, the way the clubhouse reacted, I think there was a lesson learned. Even though the current regime isn't the one who pulled the trigger on that trade, they ultimately, you know, learned a lesson, I think, from that.
Pull up the MLB offensive statistics. Can you go position by position? Can you go shortstop and just see how productive he has been, where he ranks amongst the rest of the shortstops?
Yes, it's just going to take me some time. I'm not going to be able to pull it up in the next minute or two.
That's fine. I'll go to Joshy. Joshy, how do you feel about Willy Adames? The better he does, the more likely it is he's not a Brewer, which is why I was half joking, half serious, that if he's kind of just middling, if he's kind of just there, it makes me feel a little better about maybe the Brewers being able to keep him, because if he has that down portion of the season, then maybe there isn't as robust a market for a Willy Adames.
I view shortstop in the MLB similarly to like the quarterback position, where those guys are going to get outsized numbers. It's going to be huge numbers for whoever is the next guy up at that position. I don't think there's any chance the Brewers are able to bring him back. And I do agree with Gabe. I think it's extremely unlikely that he gets traded by the break. I think the best plan is him to play his ass off, the Brewers to make some moves at the trade deadline and try and get as much as they can with what they have in the farm system and make a run at it. Why not?
I hate it.
Yeah?
I hate it so much.
Open the checkbook, Marky.
This is the frustration of being a Brewers baseball fan. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when you have a team, which we are lucky enough to have in Milwaukee, you want to develop relationships. You want to develop that connection. You want to have players that you can root for year in and year out. And I know people will continue to point to Christian Yelich. And I want to take nothing away from what Christian Yelich has shown, the loyalty he has shown this team, the dedication he has shown to getting back to his MVP form. I want to take nothing away from him. But like when we got Willy Adames, there was an excitement. I remember reporters in Tampa Bay talking about how y'all are going to love this guy. And you know what? They were right. We do. He's fantastic. He is fun. And the clubhouse sort of like rallies around it. I mean, Adanasio said it a few months ago that he was the heartbeat of the team. Fans say he's the heartbeat of the team. Other players talk about how valuable he is in that clubhouse. And it just feels like the Brewers are resigned to once again have a great player, somebody who is contributing both offensively and defensively, obviously, and they aren't going to be able to keep him around.
Yeah, I mean, I do know that the Brewers have made attempts to re-sign him. Now, that has, obviously, if the Brewers are offering it, it's going to be an offer that is advantageous to them.
Team-friendly.
Yeah, and under market value. They can say whatever they want in terms of how much that number actually is. I have no idea, length of contract, all of that. Whatever it is, Willie and his agent decided that number is not sufficient, which, if I were to be a betting man, they are probably very extremely right. So it is not in Willie's best interest to even entertain the offers at this point and just to play good baseball and hope he gets a big contract. And hopefully that good baseball is for the Brewers and they do something with it instead of peter out in the first round of the playoffs.
Gabe, did you find those numbers of where you're
what do you want
right now? What do you got?
Whatever you're looking for.
Well, again, all of them. Most generically, where he ranks amongst shortstops in the league.
Go by war.
So I can go by OPS here, where he's 10th. Offensively, he's 10th in the league in that statistic.
Okay, what else? Is that where he's the best? His 10th, runs? The highest he is on the list?
So home runs, he's tied for 7th with C.J. Abrams with 15. In terms of hits, he's 9th, tied with Mason Wynn of the Cardinals. So, I mean, just about every statistics that I pull up here for Willie, he is going to be around the top 10-ish. You know, his batting average is just outside, but his slugging percentage is inside. So it just all kind of, he's right around the top 10 for just about everything. He doesn't creep into the top 5 in any category.
But also when you were talking earlier about some of the awards and accolades that baseball players get, mm-hmm. it's a shortstop in Major League Baseball is pretty stacked right now. Like, it's a really good time for that position in that sport. And I always wonder, like, if the log jam ahead of him, everybody thinks about Mookie Betts, but the list is long as far as guys who, again, you could rattle off that list right now and tell me who's between Mookie Betts and Willie Adames.
Gunnar Henderson,
list.
Bobby Witt, Carlos Correa, you mentioned Mookie, Ellie De La Cruz, Corey Seager. Yeah, shortstop's just a stacked position.
So he's I'm able to say, well, it doesn't bother me that he's never been a quote-unquote all-star. It doesn't bother me that he doesn't have a gold glove. It doesn't bother me that he, you know what I'm saying? Because the position is so stacked, I understand why it has gone to some of those other guys.
But would you want to pay a premium for a guy who's not one of the best at his position?
But he is one of the best. You just told me he's top 10.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, one of the best is top 5. Like, top 10 is nice. He's a good player. I think that Joey Ortiz, who is presumably the shortstop of the future, can do a lot of the different things and be a better defender than
Willie Adames.
This also
feels like a little bit of a chicken or the egg conversation, Gabe, because can the Brewers afford to have top 5 at any position?
Oh,
when
yeah.
They have had top 5 at the position, pitcher comes to mind, obviously, they lose them.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got Christian, obviously, in that spot. You want to talk about somebody to, I mean, you got Christian you can hold on to. You have the big contract that they signed Jackson Chourio to. He's going to be here for a long time. I mean, every team loses players every single year. I understand he's a fan favorite, but also, I mean, do you want to pay $20 million a year to...
Which might be a bargain, which might actually be on the low end, right?
Which could be on the low end if you end up doing that. Like, I don't know if that's ultimately worth it, given the financial constraints the Brewers put on themselves.
Justin weighing in saying, nope, I want that money to go to pitching instead. Ortiz can slide right over to shortstop, no problem. Love Willie, but we can easily fill his role. Hopefully he can stay hot the rest of the season and into the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you're hoping for. And look, if you give him all that money and then he has the month of June that he had, How pissed off are you going to be when he hits 167 for an entire month? Because we just went through that with Christian Yelich. For years, we went through that with Christian Yelich after they gave him that big deal, and everybody was lamenting it.
And he even had the luxury of being able to say that it was a team-friendly deal, which should have taken some of the pressure off of him, right? There should have been an appreciation more of like, hey, this is a guy who could have gone elsewhere, chose to stay here, you know, made it work from a financial standpoint, and he still got the vitriol. He still got the criticism. He still had everybody turning on him for not performing at an MVP level consistently.
Because that's the thing with Willie. Willie's hot and cold. Willie runs hot and cold. When he's hot like he is right now, it is so much fun. But we weren't having this conversation in the month of June when he stunk. And he has months like that, and that's fine. Everybody is. Everybody's going to have these peaks and valleys. But I just feel he's one of those players where the valleys are really low and he's chasing pitches out of the zone and it looks real ugly at bats. Or it's being great like he was yesterday and has been for the first part of July.
AB weighing in saying, shortstop is a defensive heavy position, historically not measured at the plate. Willie is top five in the field. That's where we should be looking. And Chef Ed weighing in saying, I think Adames really likes being here in Milwaukee and he likes his teammates, but money talks. So his point being that if he can get more as a free agent after this season, he wouldn't hold it against him to go ahead and take the biggest paycheck, the biggest offer, as opposed to potentially staying here in Milwaukee. 800-990-3776. Willy Adames with a huge day yesterday for the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers still atop the division, still one of the best teams in the National League. And I couldn't help but feel a little melancholy about the success, because I know it will be fleeting in a Brewers uniform. Am I alone in that? Am I the only one who sees a 4-for-4 day from Willy Adames and goes, oh, bother, he won't be a Brewer next year? Let us know, 800-990-3776.
Tune in to The Analysis Show each and every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Adetokunbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any other one of TA's unique guests. Find The Analysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to The Analysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
and color
could,
it
like
egg?
An egg? I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chimura household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
On our YouTube page, remember you can stream the show on YouTube today. Our YouTube channel is ESPN Milwaukee. You can find Jen, Gabe, and Chewy there. He says they are going to let Willie walk, which sucks, but Ortiz will get moved to shortstop. It opens up third baseman for Black or Wilkin. And I think that is the balm on the burn, that they have options, that it won't just leave a black hole, and I don't mean black hole like defensively sucks everything up. I mean it won't just leave a hole at this very important defensive position for the Milwaukee Brewers. You've seen what Ortiz can do. You know that he can fill in, and of course they do seem to have depth there at those infield positions, Gabe, which again, give credit to the Brewers for putting themselves in a position where if you lose somebody like Willy Adames, which y'all are convinced they're going to, they have options to lessen the sting.
Yeah, and I think they've had a plan for this all along. Yes, they prefer to keep Willie if they can, but ultimately if they can't get it at the number that they would like, then they just move on. And they've got options there. You mentioned, I mean, they were putting Sal Frelick at third base at different times this past season, this past spring training, because they want to find at-bats for Sal. And if he can be more versatile at the infield and Jackson Churio continues to grow, you know you've got Christian Yelich out in the outfield. You kind of have a logjam out there of trying to figure out where you're going to put guys. So more guys that are versatile and can play multiple positions is something the Brewers have always, always, always looked for, to try to get everybody who they want to get them at-bats.
And look, the sky isn't all falling. Far from it, right? We are thrilled at the transition from Craig Counsell to Pat Murphy. I don't think that anybody thought it was going to go as swimmingly as it has. I think there was some questions. There was some uncertainty. There was some, who is this guy, Pat Murphy? What can he do? Can he really take over this squad that Craig Counsell has had a stranglehold on for all these years and really keep them at a high level, or heck, maybe even elevate them beyond that? Well, we learned this past weekend when a picture of Pat Murphy's office started circulating on the interwebs. Maybe what the key to his success is, Gabe. Did you see the picture that I sent you of Pat Murphy in his office doing a post-game presser or a pre-game presser? And what he has on his desk there underneath the old Brewers cap?
Well, which, by the way, was an awesome Brewers cap. Looks like it's going to be part of the promotion that they have of the old captain's hat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, baseball for dummies.
What was that?
Baseball for dummies.
The manager of your Milwaukee Brewers has a Baseball for Dummies book on his desk. We like this. We're thrilled about this. We're happy that the Brewers manager has a Baseball for Dummies. Look, I have Football for Dummies sitting on my shelf in my office. I will occasionally be like, I don't really understand what's happening right now. I'm going to flip to the glossary and look up a little section of this thing. And so it is a resource. I don't want to sit here and knock it. Do you think he is actually using Baseball for Dummies, or this is a well-placed joke to see if people would overreact to it?
I don't think that he is pulling off the coach from Waterboy and reading Baseball for Dummies as he's managing the game. No. I think that is happening? No. I think that it is a well-placed, based on what we've learned about Pat Murphy through the first half, and obviously a little more of the season, this is a hilarious joke that he has it, because the one thing, and Sophia mentioned this, the one thing that every time they go to a city they haven't been to yet this year, the one thing everybody asks is, how are you guys doing this? How are you in first place in this division? How are the Brewers necessary? So I think that because everybody's shocked at where the Brewers are, I did a show yesterday on ESPN Radio with Buster Olney, and he issued a, hey, I want to mulligan on this, because at the beginning of the season, he said, the other four teams in the National League Central could win the division. The Brewers could not. And here they are with a 4.5 game lead at the break. So I think everybody's confused as to how the Brewers are doing this. And Murph's like, well, clearly I'm doing it with Baseball for Dummies.
What do you think, Joshy? Joke? Is he playing a joke on us? He has placed this there to see who would notice, if it would take off. We did notice. And now he's like, joke's on you.
Yeah, I think he's trolling, and I think somebody got him this as a joke, probably, and he said, well, what better way to extend the joke than to stick it right at the end of my desk? Because, I mean, I've never opened a Idiots 4 book, or, you know...
They don't call them Idiots 4. For Dummies.
For Dummies, sorry. I've never seen one, but I imagine it's pretty rudimentary. I don't think they're giving tips on your pitching rotation and how to use your bullpen or stack up.
Wait, do we have to buy this book now?
Yeah.
Do we have to buy this book and kind of see what the see the tips, see some of the things that maybe Murph is, you know, scrolling through to see if he's using any of these strategies inside Baseball for Dummies.
Well, you can get a Baseball for Dummies PDF. Should I pull up the old Baseball for Dummies PDF? Probably have to pay like $1.99 or something like that.
It might be public use. It's been signed up so long. It should be free.
Well, the first page has left field, center field, right field, outfield, infield, second base, pitching mound. So it really is rudimentary, if you will. It is pretty elementary. How batters make it to base. That's the next thing I am seeing here. You hit a fair ball that isn't caught by a fielder before it touches the ground. My guess, you're right, is that Pat Murphy doesn't need a refresher on the finer points of the sport, at least at that level.
I would even grant him that he made a reference, or someone made a reference to, like, Baseball for Dummies, and then he got it. And then he just stuck it on his desk because he thought it was funny and didn't even realize that people were going to, like, I also give him that. Like, I don't know if he's some master troll, more as it's like, he's got a book. Where else is he supposed to keep it?
How many things did you get that you just randomly threw on your desk?
Right. I've got stuff in my home, all around my house. I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with this?
Is there anything in your home and on your desk that you kind of have thrown there? And then if someone were to walk in your house unannounced and saw it, you would have to explain yourself. Because I'll say that, like, when I come home from doing television and I've got all my fake hair in, I'll just throw my fake hair on my desk in my office. If somebody rolled in, they'd be like, hey, what's with the raccoon on your desk? You know, like, what's happening here? And I have to explain to him, oh, I take all my fake hair out and I put it right there and didn't put it anywhere. That would be one of those things that people would do a double take on in my office, in my house. The other thing on Pat Murphy's desk, and I do want to point at this as well, is a sign that says, undaunted, not intimidated, discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment. Doesn't that just embody what we have come to know about Pat Murphy this year? Like, he's just kind of a no-nonsense, enjoys, you know, obviously the game, enjoys having fun, and maybe the frivolity of, you know, the team atmosphere and environment, but undaunted, not intimidated, discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment. That feels Murphy-esque to me.
100%. And his attitude, I think, has almost been perfect for the young youth movement that this team has. It almost worked out perfectly for the Brewers, where he certainly, because every team is going to, rely on analytics to a certain extent. But whereas Craig Counsell in the past would always play the numbers game, it seems like Murph manages a little bit more to, hey, we can go win this game. Let's go win this game. Instead of going sitting back and going, these games are going to play out however they play out, the way that Craig did from time to time.
800-990-3776. We are putting it on the Jen Gabin Shui Twitter poll this morning. Pat Murphy has a Baseball for Dummies book on his desk in his office. Hilarious or troubling? Let us know. 800-990-3776. We got to take a break. We roll on right
all of
the
secrets are going to get out, Jen.
Are you ready to upgrade the concrete surfaces in your home? Let me tell you about Showtime Floors and Floor Shield. It's used by military bases, airports, businesses, and, of course, residential homes, too. You can find it at our residential home. I should post some pictures, actually, of just how beautiful the floor in our garage is. That's not something I thought I would be saying. But the reality is Showtime Floors came out and did a fantastic job. Just absolutely resurfacing our garage floor. The entire space looks different, feels different. I'm willing to walk out there in my bare feet. Never would have done that before with all the dust and gravel and garbage that was kind of collecting on our old floor in our garage. And you can have the same results. They've got a 15-year warranty against wear. And if you mention ESPN when you call them, they'll give you free crack repair and 10% off your purchase. Guys, this is totally worth it. Get more information by visiting ShowtimeFloors.com. That's ShowtimeFloors.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I was
good
getting.
Good pop. Good pop.
That, whoa.
I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I have been known to enjoy a festival here or there. Really enjoy the month of August. When the State Fair rolls into town. We are not alone, of course. State Fair happens in all the states. I remember when we were in Connecticut, the states are so small, guys, just by landmass, that they don't have individual state fairs. They have what's called the Big E. And all of the states come together for one big festival. But then they each have their own little areas. So you can go to like the Delaware House or the Connecticut House or the New Hampshire House. And they all have, you know, what is specific to them. Vermont has maple syrup, right? You get a bunch of different syrup treats or dishes.
New Hampshire, just like a hut?
I don't remember.
What the hell's going on in New Hampshire?
I mean, but they have a lot of crab cakes out there.
Oh, sure.
In the northwest, northeast. Wow, directions. Never eat soggy waffles.
What?
Sorry. Again, sometimes I get my west and east confused. Real talk.
What do you mean?
Sometimes I forget which is west and which is east.
Your rights and lefts too?
No, those I'm
good. You got to put up the hands.
Yeah, I was about to say. The old L trick.
Oh,
right?
Okay. This is the left hand right here.
I was teaching that to my 4-year-old the other day. Well, baby, which one makes an L? And she holds him up and goes, they both do. No, they both don't.
Wait, so if you're driving and somebody tells you to go north.
That's not an issue. I know north, it's just sometimes it takes me a split second to remember which is west and which is east.
Why are you being so dismissive when you just started the conversation with sometimes I get you lived in the Northeast and you're like, oh yeah, up there in the Northwest.
Because I travel so much, I also go to the Northwest, so my brain is like, where are we today? Like, yes, I admit this is something I need to work on, but really I don't because I have GPS and the GPS will get me where I need to go.
We've taught the dog left and right when we're walking, but Mussolini sometimes struggles with her rights and lefts. So she says right when she means left and the dog gets very, very confused. He's going one way, we're going the other, but it's pretty interesting that the dog will learn its directions at some point.
The problem for you, Jen, is all the college conferences now, like, directions don't matter.
That's a very good point.
So that's not going to be helpful for you this college football season.
SEC Media Day is going on this week, and there are some schools that are not in the S or the E anymore. I digress. The reason I wanted to bring this up is because we saw a list of some of the foods that are going to be at some of the respective state fairs, and you had a real problem with one of them.
Well, so Minnesota State Fair is, you know, again, like Wisconsin, we can go through some of the ones that are new. Going to be new at the Wisconsin State Fair. Deep fried ranch dressing is new this year at the Minnesota State Fair. And there's a picture of it that Dara Rovell tweeted out a couple of days ago. And literally, it just looks like breading. And when you open up the breading, it's ranch dressing. What the hell are we doing? Deep fried ranch dressing?
I honestly don't know how you even make this. How do you make this?
No idea.
Do you squirt the ranch dressing into the oil?
Like a...
No.
Well, because you need breaded.
Because it's breaded.
How do you bread the ranch dressing?
If I were to gather, you take something that either you freeze it or congeal it in a way that once it hits the fryer, it does become almost like a soup dumpling. You know how those are made? It's like a gelatin.
Yeah. Can we for 1 minute just talk about congeal? The word congeal.
What's worse? Noise you made or congeal? Because I'll go congeal all day.
Got you there. Fair. Got you there.
Fair point.
I'm on fire today, baby.
So now you've taken
out. Gets his voice back a little bit. Uh-huh. He's just firing.
Situation in Milwaukee. You've taken out. Oh, crap. I can't even remember
bicyclists.
The other things.
Bicyclists.
Which is weird. Cyclists. What did they ever do to you?
Oh.
And then
so
now sound effects. I can't make sound effects.
Specifically that one. Yeah.
That wasn't even a good one. Better?
No, worse.
But worse is better in this case, Joshy. I'm not sure we're following that. Anyway, so you're freezing the ranch dressing. That'd be my guess. You're freezing it into
whatever
dollops.
Breading, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're breading it, and then you're dropping it into the oil.
Yeah, probably. But, so, I mean, what are we doing here? Like, it looks like there's a little dipping sauce on this plate. What the hell are we using as a dipping sauce for a deep-fried dipping sauce?
Ketchup.
No! You want ketchup and ranch together?
I don't know. You asked what would be a good dipping sauce for a dipping sauce. I don't know the answer to this.
Correct, because it was, you know, a rhetorical question that didn't have an answer.
Ketchup is the dipping sauce for everything, you guys. Could you do deep-fried ketchup, then?
No, I mean, you could. But, I mean, Joshy's also got pretty strong takes about ketchup.
Poverty sauce.
Yes, I know. But again, today of all days, Joshy, you should definitely get that take out there. You could do deep fried ketchup because if you can do deep fried ranch, you can do deep fried
condiment. You could. But again, this is one of those situations, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
All right, Jurassic Park. What was the line there? They never stop to think if they should. Okay, so that is the Minnesota State Fair. So you're very upset and angry and frustrated about the idea of deep fried ranch dressing. We've taken a condiment and we are now deep frying the condiment. You know,
deep frying condiments is fine. Deep frying dipping sauce is different.
Wait, what's the difference between deep frying a condiment versus deep frying a dipping sauce?
Well, like, you can deep fry a pickle. Like, deep fried pickles have been a thing that have been forever.
Okay, that's like the loophole of condiments. When people think of condiments, they don't think pickles. They're thinking ketchup, they're thinking mustard, they're thinking mayo, they're thinking ranch dressing. Those are the condiments people think of.
Sure.
So, yes, we talked about this. It's an accessory.
Yes.
Pickle is an accessory more than a condiment. So you're out on the dipping sauces, but are you in on any of the other things that you have seen?
So Iowa State Fair has these, a bacon cheeseburger egg roll, which doesn't sound too wild, and it seems,
I've heard of similar things.
Yeah, it seems, would I give that a try? Yeah, I'd give that a try. It's just, you know, I'm assuming whatever the wonton is, and you put bacon cheeseburger ingredients in it, sounds lovely. What about candied bacon gnocchi?
I like candy.
Mm-hmm.
I like bacon.
Yep.
I like a gnocchi.
Yeah. It seems like it might be all right.
Is the bacon inside the gnocchi? Because the gnocchi is a dumpling. It's a tiny dumpling,
yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, it's just a little potato. So it's like a potato noodle type
how
thing.
How are they intersecting the bacon and the gnocchi? That's what I
mean.
I need
it could
to
be
know.
A bigger piece of gnocchi. And
that's
you
what
get
I
the...
need to gnocchi.
Okay. Deep fried hot Cheetos pretzel.
Okay. We did the hot Cheetos with our friends at Cousins last year for Summerfest, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Flamin' where they hot put Cheetos them... on the sandwich. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. We loved it. I actually went back this year to Summerfest and was disappointed. We knew that they weren't going to. Justin had told us that when he was in with us introducing the fried bologna sandwich. We knew they wouldn't have it. And I was still like, well, maybe, but maybe they have a couple holding, you know, from last year, just hanging out.
Don't know if you want Cheetos that have been hanging out for a year. Yeah,
Cheetos famously can hang out as long as you want.
Not going to be crunchy.
No, that's true. But are they crunchy on the sandwich? I can't, who can say? Anyway, so I am a deep fried, I'm sorry, I am a hot Cheeto fan.
Yes. I think this one sounds like you could pull it off. I think this sounds good. What about garlic ranch pickle pizza?
Yes.
Love pickle pizza.
Pickle pizza's the best.
It's so good. So you had a little
garlic. Don't even know what it is. Even know what it is.
What do you mean? It's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it?
I mean, what is a pickle pizza?
You put pickles on a pizza. What's a sausage pizza, Gabe?
Okay, but state
you
fried.
You don't want to joust with him today, Gabe.
But state fair foods always like mean different things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know if they were somehow making the pickle the dough of the pizza or something.
No, it's just a pizza with pickles.
Okay. Which, by the way, I have told you guys this before. I will say it every year. They Rick's or Dick's or one of those places, and that's really what it's called. It's one of those things. Has a pickle pizza at State Fair that is $10 a slice, and it is worth every penny. It is so good. We get one every year. It is one of my favorite fair foods. Fair, if you will. Fair fairs. Is that right? You know what? Let's
fair,
move on.
Fair.
Fair, F-A-I-R.
All right,
fair,
so how about F-A-R-E. How about these? Some of these that are going to be available at the Wisconsin State Fair? A beer, cheese, and brat spud muffin.
Spud sounds like potato.
Yep.
So it's a potato muffin with what in it?
With beer, cheese, and brats.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's basically a cheesy hash brown with beer, cheese, and a brat in it.
Yes, sign me up, yes. First of all, I'm a hash brown fan. I will eat all the hash browns. I like them crispy. I don't like them soggy. So I'm a little bit interested in like, is it going to come in a muffin tin, like in a muffin wrap?
No, it kind of looks like, the picture that they have on the Wisconsin State Fair website. It just kind of looks like a thicker, like hand food, like you pick it up and just eat it.
Like a burrito?
No, like a McDonald's, like hash brown.
Oh.
It's just thicker.
And
then
the
there's
stuff
a brat
on the inside?
Yeah, then the brat's on the inside.
Oh, with the beer cheese.
With the beer cheese, then that, across the
top. I feel like
top.
That's a good combo. What do you think, Joshy?
Yeah, can't go wrong.
Hash browns, check. Brat, check. Mm-hmm. Beer cheese, check.
There's some interesting ones on here.
What else you got?
Bubblegum fudge?
No.
No.
Isn't fudge famously chocolate?
Yeah.
And now it's bubblegum flavored fudge?
Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
No, thank you. Why don't I just eat some bubblegum?
Bug juice.
Mm-hmm. I've had bug juice before.
Green juice has ice cubes made with real edible bugs, which release as the ice melts. The rim of the cup is dipped in caramel sauce with black ants, then topped off with a scorpion.
Not real black ants. Real black ants?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm pretty
you know,
sure.
The reason I say that is because when you were a kid, your mom gave you ants on a log. It wasn't
correct.
Real ants.
Yeah,
it was
no,
just raisins and peanut butter on celery,
yes,
right?
Like, that's...
So when they say ants, I didn't know if it was real ants or fake ants, i.e. raisins.
Doesn't look like a fake ant to me.
So y'all know, and I've told you this before, when we went out to Seattle, which is famously in the Northwest.
Very proud of you.
Thank you very much. We had crickets. I want to say crickets. At the baseball, at the stadium. That's one of their delicacies, if you will. And then we ate crickets in studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you put that out of your mind? Did you
I did not
in
eat
black
those.
Yourself?
I did not eat those. I refused to eat those that day. I did not participate.
I know Ashton participated.
Ashton did. I did not. I passed.
All righty. Anyway, I have eaten bugs before. I don't necessarily know if this is the way I want to consume bugs. I don't like the idea of the ants around the rim. That to me sounds...
That's far from me.
Disgusting.
Also, the scorpion on top, am I at risk as somebody with a bee sting allergy? Did they remove stingers for the scorpion?
I'm assuming the stinger's been removed.
Hmm.
But before you try it, unnecessary though. Who's eating the scorpion? Is it more of like a decorative thing?
I don't know. Like there was the one place in Milwaukee that always had put the scorpion in the shot.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I forget what it was a shot of.
I'm very close to vomiting.
Dill pickle poutine.
In dill pickle, I'm in.
Poutine,
crispy fresh fries topped with a handful of Wisconsin cheese curds, loaded with dill pickle chips, smothered in a homemade creamy dill sauce.
Is the dill pickle having a moment?
I think the dill pickle is just a classic.
Yeah?
I think it's just getting the appreciation. I think people were consuming lots of pickles for a long time. And then they said, why don't we put it on more stuff?
Big Pickle was like, we need to do more advertising.
Big Pick.
Shout out to Big Pick this morning.
Ooh, I like this one, frozen pickle lemonade. That I will certainly try.
So that's three pickle things that we have talked about. It does feel like they're leaning into the pickle. Like there are certain foods that are fair staples. It feels like they lean into. Bacon is one of them.
Yeah.
People bacon. Start doing a lot of things with bacon once the fair rolls around. What else? Pickles, obviously. Like I said, pickles are having a moment. Is there something else that you
feels
always
like
find
Oreo.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Deep fried Oreos, Oreo shakes, Oreo, you know, you run the risk of sounding like Bubba from Forrest Gump.
And then on a stick is also the other thing. Just put it on a stick, call it whatever.
Yeah.
You just call it what it is and then just add on a stick.
Jalapeno chocolate chip cookie dough on a stick seems interesting.
Jalapeno chocolate chip cookie dough.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure I ever thought those words would all be in the same sentence before.
No, but they the chocolate and a spicy is a compliment that is made often.
Yep. The whole tahine thing, tahine has been having a moment the last 5 years or so. It does feel like people are throwing tahine in recipes you wouldn't. That's one that I could see, like something with chocolate and tahine, the mango thing. I'm coming up with a recipe here is what I'm doing. And I'm going to see if the Sporkies.
You have a deep fryer? You want to try it at home?
See if the Sporkies want to get in on that. If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the Sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. Get the ultimate experience. Dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a broadcast booth, a first-class bar. They've got a brand new restaurant there, The Kitchen, which is fantastic. And of course, the video wall that is over 2,000 square feet wide and tall. And you can watch all of the action right there at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It is a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie. If you haven't gotten in on the action, it is time to do so.
Here we go.
Got my Celsius energy drink right here. Of course, it's the old peach vibe. Get me through the morning. Get me through this Monday. And if you haven't tried Celsius energy drink yet, what exactly are you waiting for? It's so good. I have one every Saturday morning before I hit the air during college football season, and it keeps me going. And of course, on weeks like this, when I need a little pick-me-up, Celsius is my go-to option. You can find it at Pick and Save or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. All right, so we've been talking about the fairs, the fair foods, the festival foods that you will see. Did anybody go to Bastille Days this past weekend? That's a good spot to always get the beignets.
Wandered around for a little bit.
How was it? Lovely, nice?
It was fine, yeah. First time I had been since I originally moved to Milwaukee and lived in my first apartment on the east side.
Well, because you're so close now.
Oh, yeah. We just walked over there, took the pup over, just kind of wandered around Bastille Days for a little bit.
Are you one of these people that when you go to each of these festivals, you feel the need to, like, get or indulge in, enjoy whatever the theme is? Like, so would you go to Bastille Days and get a beignet?
We did, yes. We did get a beignet,
Beignet. What about you, Joshy?
I feel no obligation to do any of that. I went to Bastille Days West, which is over by my house. It was on Holly and Valete. It's basically...
Hold on, I'm working through the West thing. So that's this way.
Okay, from the lake.
Think about where the lake is. The lake is...
Bastille Days East would have been in France, so... All right, go ahead.
And we had people over for it, and I packed a bag of beers and walked to the street festival. And some people gave me a weird look when I was doing it, and I said, I feel no obligation. It's a street festival. I could bring beers in here. What does it matter? So I didn't buy anything there, to be quite frank.
Ooh, now that's a frugal little festival for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to be offering there.
But you don't think they're going to have beer at a street festival?
Yeah, but who knows
what
type of beer.
Have you been to Milwaukee?
It's there. If they don't have an ice cold H life, what am I doing? Come on.
That's a really interesting. I've never really thought about bringing BYO.
Yeah, at a street festival, what can they do?
Yeah, I mean, when there's not security that you have to pass through, it's not like there's much they can do.
We put it on the poll this morning. Does Jordan Love deserve to be in the top 10 of all NFL quarterbacks? Yes or no? This based on ESPN.com's list that came out this morning of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, and Jordan Love was not on the list. Again, I can make this real simple for you folks. They put Aaron Rodgers on the list, who does not have any statistics from last year because he dealt with the terrible Achilles injury. They gave Aaron Rodgers Jordan Love's spot. Like, that's as simple as it is. Jordan Love was in the top 10 in all of the important stuff last year, and they had to put Aaron Rodgers somewhere. They gave him Jordan Love's spot. 50% of people, guys. This is a 52-47 right now on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Go ahead and get your votes in today. We'll revisit it tomorrow as we continue to be on Jordan Love Contract Watch all week long.